Okay, anyway.
Let's do this.
So, Sean?
Yeah?
Tomorrow is Valentine's Day.
Well, happy Valentine's Day.
Well, thank you. Thank you. What? That's all I get? A happy Valentine's Day? We've been doing this for how many years now?
Listen, my wife gets jealous.
Oh, okay. Okay. understand. Understandable.
Yeah.
You know, actually, for recording some stuff for our videos...
Yes.
Which, yes, I'm recording stuff for videos now.
Yeah.
So that might mean a new episode is in the works, right?
It might. It might mean just that.
Actually, we've been recording stuff for this episode for a while, but this should be the last stuff.
Right.
This should be the end of stuff.
One can only hope.
But I have one of those movie cameras that takes everything to an SD card.
Okay.
It doesn't have the hard drive built in.
That's kind of good in a way, right?
It is, because it's like no moving parts and you don't like risk everything getting destroyed if you drop it.
Right.
But SD cards are cheap these days.
Right.
You know, you can pick up an 8 gig SD card for, I don't know, like $12 or something.
For all the 12 minutes that you'll be able to get with it on HD.
Hey, no. It's nicely compressed. I can get from an 8 gig card, I get an hour or so.
Oh, okay.
You know. And technically they're rewritable, but like sometimes it's hard to transfer that stuff to something, you know, that you know will be somewhat permanent, you know.
Okay.
Because I keep the SD cards with things like my wedding video and you know, stuff like that. I don't wipe them.
Okay.
Even after I've transferred it. I don't know, because I don't know. Maybe it's because I have a background in video production.
Sure,
but like right. I don't want to wipe my RAWs ever.
Yeah, because you know, in my case, well, I'm actually able to transfer the RAWs off of my hard drive camera as they are, but I got to keep them backed up somewhere, and they're not like in an easy to locate format like an SD card or a tape or anything like that. So yeah, I totally understand where you're coming from there.
But anyway, what it means is that I'm almost constantly buying new SD cards.
Oh, all right.
But today it's raining. It's pouring outside. I didn't want to go outside, but I needed to find some space to record today. So I was going through some SD cards because some of them aren't labeled. So I'm like, is this blank? Is there, you know, maybe there's just a little bit of stuff on here, you know? I mean, oh man, Famicom Dojo stuff gets recorded on like extra space on cards all the time.
So it's all over the place.
I've got one like bringing my new baby daughter home from the hospital and then VinCon. You know? So I really do need to start transferring these things, because if I ever decide, get the family around to watch some home videos, you know, we're just gonna run into Cookie Monster and the basketball.
Yeah.
For those who aren't sure what I'm talking about, Nah, you can figure it out yourself.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll link it in the show notes.
Oh, do we have to?
Yes, people want to see more VinCon.
Actually, yes. Like, my brother, who is one of our biggest fans, strangely enough, I asked him what he thought of the VinCon video, and he said, it was too short. I'm like, what? And he's like, I wanted to see more of VinCon. I'm like, that's strange feedback.
Yeah.
I'm sure a lot of people were thinking they'd like to see less of VinCon. But I said, well, it's only VinCon 1.
Exactly. You know, the second year is always bigger.
Yeah. First con's always small. I'm hoping to expand to the living room next year. Anyway, so I was going through all these things. And I was going through footage of my wedding reception, actually. And, you know, I'm just like, wow, what an incredibly, like, that was the peak of my romantic life, I suppose. Because before there, all my romantic life had been video games.
Really?
Well, you know, I. Yeah. No.
Actually, that's kind of funny because I did post a picture that was a little risque on the Facebook page that, you know, it isn't ours.
Was it the controller T-shirt?
No. It was when did this, and like, you know, four attractive and not terribly clad with them, women hotter than this, and it's like Samus, Ms. Pac-Man, Zelda, and Princess Peach. 8-bit.
You're posting all this stuff on our Facebook. We all should check out the Facebook page more often.
So that's what it made me think of a little bit. It's like the first answer was, I don't know, around 12. Yeah, that's the correct answer. Actually, probably a bit younger than that. Especially that Ms. Pac-Man. By the way, I believe you should get that mole checked out. It's looking a little aliased around the edges there. I also noticed that like Zelda doesn't shave her pits, which is
what?
Yeah.
Wait, what?
there's like dark black spots under her arms. She's holding up the Triforce. She's a hippie. It's cool, you know. She plays a harp and everything.
Yeah.
But it did get me thinking a little bit about romance and love in video games.
I guess. Is it? No, I'm not gonna go there.
Too late.
Well, what if you still prefer the bottom row?
Well,
I mean, of course, my wife excluded from that.
Yeah, I was going to say I'll break the news to her gently.
But like, I don't know. I find Samus Aran a much more compelling and interesting character than any of the four women on top.
It's true. She is much less two-dimensional.
Wow! When pixel art is less two-dimensional. No, but I'm sure these ladies are lovely, and I'm sure they've got a lot to talk about.
Yes.
Shopping and things.
It's just one of those memes going around right now, and it was I thought humorous. Kind of like,
oh, definitely.
I recently wrote an article for Powit about how Nintendo probably won't ever go third party, and here's the five reasons why. And at the end, I take a sort of tongue-in-cheek swipe at Sony for being in third place in the console and handheld markets these last 5 or 6 years. And like, oh, they should leave. I don't mean it, you know.
Well,
I don't think they should leave any more than Nintendo should leave at this point. Like, anyone trying to break into the market is going to have to spend $5 billion like Microsoft did. So, but
SNK,
you
know, should get a Kickstarter,
right? Oh, it worked great for Tim Schafer.
True.
Yeah. True. If you guys don't know about this, Double Fine had a $400,000 Kickstarter project last week that within 8 hours was fully funded, and after 24 hours had three times the amount they needed. So they're nice. At like $1.6 million right now, I want to say.
That's crazy.
There was stuff capped off too, like the $10,000 pledge. There was one person who could do it, and someone paid for it.
Yeah, what wasn't the prize insane. To like have lunch with Tim Schafer or something?
Plus a bunch of other stuff that they didn't want to fit in the description because it was just too much of it. But yeah, and then there was like $5,000 levels, $1,000 levels. Man. Everything that had a cap on it was sold out within those first 8 hours.
That's not just nice. That's double fine.
That's double fine. So I think Kickstarter is pretty good and a good way to go, and a good way to show your love this Valentine's Day to a studio of your choice who wants to break free of the shackles of their publishers. Granted, these guys have already broken free almost four times over, but you can still donate. Now, I think we should put that in the show notes for sure.
The shackles are so far behind at this time. Well, I mean, they're good little prizes, too. You donate $15 towards the cause, you get a copy of the game when it's done on Steam.
Yep, and you get to be in the beta, too. Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
Let's not forget that. So, yeah, Double Fine.
I think this is something we should be looking into, Mr. Sean.
Yeah. We need some help, I think, getting the next DVD out, and people have been asking for us to finish it for a while now. Part of the problem isn't so much that we don't want to do it as
want to do it very much.
Yes, we want to do it very much. It's part of its cause, but also part of it is there's a couple of episodes we want to get done before we release the disc.
Yeah, and those will be done. Those will be done fairly soon.
Yeah, so that's the good news.
We want two more before making the disc, right?
Yep, and we were just talking about finishing up one of those. So huzzah!
Yep, and the other one is scripted mostly.
Yeah. So that just means we just have to, you know, it'll be out this year, I guess is what we're saying. So, keep your eyes and ears peeled.
Mastering costs and things like that. Yeah, we're gonna need a little kickstarting help there. But
yep.
I don't know, what should our prizes be?
Oh, I don't know. People should probably suggest prizes to us, because the only thing we've had give out are season one DVDs, and a lot of you have them already.
Yeah. I don't know. Do you think people want to be in the credits on this one? Like,
yeah.
We could make if someone's willing to pay enough, they can be an executive producer. Because really, what else does an executive producer do other than sign checks?
Right. So, yep. Credits for sure. If you're not shy about being on camera, I'm sure we could probably do something there too.
Ooh.
Signing all the official releases, of course, so that you can be on the disc proper. Yeah. Oh, I mean, you know, we
maybe actually make some T-shirts again.
We've had, right. Oh, we should definitely do T-shirts. A few people. That's how we got to meet Juwario. Actually, was he wanted a T-shirt and wanted to know how to get one, because he wanted to put one in one of his videos. And I was like, videos. So I watched his stuff, and I was like, let's have him on our show.
That's the story of how you met Juwario?
Yeah,
that's kind of romantic,
isn't it?
So going back to our topic.
Ah, well done, sir.
How was that for a segue?
That was a good segue. yeah, so I'm thinking about that bottom row on that image.
Yeah.
And yeah, you know, I don't seriously find them hotter, but it does make me think of those halcyon days, especially because those are all 8-bit ladies.
Yes.
You know, of fighting to save the princess, which is in fact one of the lyrics in our titular Famicom Dojo RPG theme song. If you haven't listened to the whole thing,
we have romance in our twice.
I know it's about fighting boyhood fantasies and romance, and it really doesn't every 30-something want that deep down.
Maybe,
but
like, I don't know, romance. I mean, it was a simpler time, though, wasn't it?
It was. I mean, is there really a lot of romance in video games? I mean, sure, like the goal was to save the princess, and you have to take it for granted that, like, you know, Mario loves Princess Toadstool. But I mean, come on, Toadstool, really?
Well, she's very wealthy.
It's true.
I mean, she owns. I mean, you know, as far as I'm concerned, she is. I don't see any queen of the Mushroom Kingdom, so she probably is the, you know, the highest power in the land.
Right.
Although, as such, I mean, if I was her, the first order of business would be to increase the guard, because she gets kidnapped a lot.
I don't know. I'm starting to think that she wants to be kidnapped.
Well, she does it for attention.
I'm just saying.
So Mario's so busy. Like, he's going go-karting and golfing and playing tennis and earning his medical license. You know, Dr. Mario and such.
He's a referee in boxing
really,
matches.
Really, he's really, really busy. So
yeah.
So she's like, ugh. All he does is hang out with the guys, Donkey Kong, and
yeah. Does she ever ask, you know, what happened to Paulina?
They don't want to talk about it. You know, he saved Paulina a number of times from Donkey Kong, but look at it now. Look at it, Donkey Kong and he.
Yeah,
they're still friends.
Yeah, they're buddies.
But Paulina, you never hear about her anymore.
It's because she's not rich.
It's true. And then like. What exactly is Daisy, you know?
Daisy, isn't she the princess in Mario Land?
Yeah, and like Mario's after her, but like it seems like now she's coupled with Luigi. Like
right.
Like Mario's done with her, and he's like, "Hey brother who doesn't get much attention."
Yeah.
I'm kind of with Peach now. Can you take Daisy to the dance, you know?
She's a sweet girl.
She's sweet. She, you know, we didn't click, but maybe you would. You know, you have lower expectations, you know.
Yeah, you know, Mario and Daisy dated when he and Peach had a rough patch, you know. And Luigi, even though being the younger brother, is taller. So that's definitely a plus.
Well, well, it wasn't even Luigi's fault. Like Mario had dumped Daisy, and like she's still at their house, and she's crying, and Luigi comes home, and it was a hard day, but like he's like there, and you know, one thing led to another, and now they're a couple, you know.
Right, right, exactly.
This, I think this is in the manual to one of the video games, wasn't it?
Now you're gonna have people looking, and they're gonna say they found it, even though they didn't find it.
No, I'm making this up. Okay,
it's like how Tataka's song is in everything, even though it really isn't.
No.
Okay. But I do see a bit more of a romantic streak between Link and Princess Zelda. Think about it. Like, as the story has progressed, we've found out that there's been like a Link and a Zelda for every era. And
true.
If you take it to some of the literal extremes that some of the stories have mentioned, it's that they're basically being reincarnated through time, partly through the power of the Triforce. They're destined to be born into this world of impending darkness and then team up with the Triforce of Wisdom and courage to defeat the Triforce of Power, essentially. Over
Zelda's really grown as a character, too.
She has. She used to just get kidnapped a lot. I think my favorite incarnation where she could actually, you know, kick butt and take names was as Tetra in... Oh, spoiler, by the way.
It's okay.
In Wind Waker. Yeah. But, you know, you see this blonde chick, like, running a pirate ship. You know, she's the same age as Link. You figure out that she's not just any ordinary girl.
But, you know, I mean, Link can't be really tied down. You know, he's spending all his time hanging out with his bros, you know, like Sheik, you know.
Yeah, like...
And so... Wait.
Oh.
When they went to the YMCA, that's why she needed to change separately. I get it.
Spoilers. I got.
Oh, sorry.
She's
now that we've ruined some Zelda games.
She's gone from being window dressing to, you know, being an active part of the mythos, which is pretty cool. You know, like apart from just being captured, a la. Princess Peach / Toadstool in the earlier Mario games to being sleeping. I guess she was an actual like more ancient Princess Zelda.
Yeah.
That happened to be asleep for hundreds of years, so it wasn't the same one from the first game. Confusing. I know.
Sure.
We'll just go with that. Maybe Zelda's just a title for princesses in the land of Hyrule. Who knows?
It could be. You know, you actually played as Zelda in one of the games.
Yeah, that wasn't official, though.
It was licensed.
If you've ever played the 3DO, it's not a 3DO, CDI games. Sorry.
CDI,
Philips,
yes.
CDI. That was the third one?
The third and last, yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's like they succeeded.
Probably the best, actually, because it was actually a top-down game again.
Yeah, I don't want to say succeeded. They completed a three-part game in a way that Nintendo never could. They started to with the Oracle games, but they stopped short, I think, because the logistics of having three interconnecting games was a little too much, so they just stopped with two, I believe is the way that story went. Although I can't imagine between Oracle of Ages and Seasons what they could have gone with the next.
Yeah.
It's both kind of time-based.
But
well,
like as a romantic couple, though, are Zelda and Link really that romantic? The only time I can imagine, you know, like, have they ever kissed?
Well, again, the CDI games have these wonderful cutscenes.
No. I'm so hungry, I could eat an Octorok or something like that. Yeah.
No.
No, but yeah, other than like the Zelda cartoon where they were they couple-esque. But
yeah.
No, I mean, really. Well, you beat Zelda 2, right?
Yeah, I beat Zelda 2.
There's an implied kiss on that one.
Yeah. Well, like, you know, Skyward Sword's pretty good for that, I think.
Yeah.
Link and Zelda have a pretty good relationship before they become heroes of their world.
Yeah, that's true.
So, and he's going to save her not because she's a princess, but because she's Well, she is kind of the belle of the ball, as it were. She is being pined after by someone else, but she clearly spurns his affections.
Maybe it's not a romantic relationship, but look at the relationship between Link and Midna from Twilight Princess.
Yeah. Yeah.
They actually seem a lot closer.
Right. Oh, I really liked that game, and I'm glad you brought that up, because someone actually posted, like, well, not to get too spoilery, but a couple of versions of Midna, and I'm like, man, that was a good game, and Midna really does tug at your heartstrings, you know? I need to play that again. I definitely need to play that
again.
So
has a game romance story ever brought you to tears?
I have to think about that one for a minute. I was really sad when the Metroid baby sacrificed itself for Samus in Super Metroid.
Okay.
You're laughing. Yeah, you're laughing.
I'm sorry, but we're talking about romance in video games, and you bring up Metroid baby.
Well,
sorry. Continue. That was a touching moment. I'm sorry to laugh.
It's not really a romance, but you wouldn't know that if you played Other M. Essentially, like, she is just like, I guess it's supposed to be like a mother child thing, but it gets a little weird because she has like daddy issues with like her commanding officer from the Federation, yeah. Also. So it's this whole confused Oedipal mess of something going on. So I can't really agree with that take on it, but just, you know, the Metroid games are pretty unique in that there's actually, at least from the first four, not including like the Prime games and Other M, there's a direct narrative between like Metroid 2 for the Game Boy, Super Metroid, aka Metroid 3 for Super NES, and then Metroid Fusion for the Game Boy Advance.
Yeah.
And so like that Metroid baby like never leaves Samus, like even in this fourth game after it's been killed, it saves her life yet again, essentially. And it's, oh god, it's such a good story. So yeah, there's I think that's like the most emotional Nintendo based story that I can really enjoy. I probably Twilight Princess comes in second. For Nintendo, that
wow,
is.
Yeah, yeah, dude, that well, yeah, for Nintendo, romancing games, Shenmue.
Oh yeah, man,
you know, great. What, her point. Name was Nozomi, mm-hmm. And like, it was a bit cliche. It was, but like at the time, games weren't trying to do it at all. You know what I mean?
Right, and it wasn't one of these things where like you were trying to impress somebody or trying to get a girlfriend or anything like that. You know, like you two were basically already dating.
Yeah, and it wasn't a dating sim. Yeah. It wasn't like Dead or Alive Extreme Beach Volleyball where you can build up your relationship with her by buying her presents or something.
Right,
you know,
right. Yeah, you would talk to her like during the course of this game. She would call your house, you know, or you could call her and just talk for a bit. But like, you know, it wouldn't really change anything. But
you're kind of a jerk to her. Really,
yeah, well, you know, he's so, Japanese.
So
of course, he's a jerk.
Intent on finding your father's killer. That.
yeah. So it is a little cliche.
And then you go off to Hong Kong.
Yeah, without her.
That's not a spoiler, right?
No.
Okay.
Well, you know, there might not ever be another Shenmue game, so who cares at this point?
Shut up.
I'm sorry.
You're the worst Valentine ever.
Oh. Well, didn't Yu Suzuki leave AM2?
Yeah, but maybe
there's really no
to form his
Sega.
Own secret Shenmue company.
No,
let me dream.
I've heard that he might try and get the rights to it to finish it.
I don't even care what form it's finished in. I just want to know how it ends.
Right. Yeah, because he's met Joy, who's this like super hardcore Hong Kong chick.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, and poor Nozomi is just this flower shop girl back in Japan. Like, how could she possibly compete with her?
Flower shop girls don't fare well in video games.
Yeah. Oh, Final Fantasy. Fantasy VII in particular. I don't even know if I would call that a love story. Unrequited love story?
I don't know. I mean, can we spoil? Okay, if you haven't played Final Fantasy VII, well, if you haven't played Final Fantasy VII yeah. past the first disc.
First of all, it's 20 years too late almost.
Yeah, okay. But if so, please put your fingers in your ears right now.
I guess we're like 15.
And say la, la, la. Yeah, oh, if you've got headphones in already, just take them out for a while. Make yourself a sandwich. Okay. Okay. Everyone still with me?
Right.
She dies. Really good.
My sandwich is ruined.
And but like that's the thing though. Like it was shocking at the time because video game characters like didn't die unless I was playing the video game and they died all the time. But that would be my character.
She dies, but you can get that that like limit breaker for her, which is crazy. It's like maybe she can come back. No, she's dead.
But like, you know, I remember playing that, and. I already knew before I started playing Final Fantasy VII that it would happen. But I've been hearing – but I played Final Fantasy VII like 5 years after it came out.
All right.
And everyone had talked about how like they cried or something or, you know, how emotional it was. But I played it and I'm like, you barely even knew her.
But she was so sweet and innocent. And see, this is how you know a flower girl is going to die, is because when they die, instead of like showing the death, they just have the flower fall from her hand. Although I guess in this point, in this game, you actually do see Sephiroth's long-ass sword protruding from her chest.
Yeah.
There is that.
Maybe I just didn't care about her because I knew she was going to die. So maybe that that had tainted my image of her. But I know right now people are running, Final Fantasy VII isn't the best game ever made and the best story since the New Testament.
It's just the first one you played in 3D when you were like 10 or something. Whatever.
I'd like to say that the story in Final Fantasy II had a very good story.
You mean four?
But it wasn't like totally emotional, you know.
You mean Final Fantasy IV, right?
Is this gonna happen every time? Yes, Final Fantasy IV, the one with Cecil and Rosa.
Right.
You know, and they had a relationship, a complicated relationship, because he like changed completely during the course of the game, but she like still stood with him.
Yeah.
But I mean, it wasn't a love story per se. I mean, there was. You know, it was they obviously cared much for each other, but like they didn't the story didn't dwell on it.
Sure, okay.
But yeah, Final Fantasy VII was going for the emotional thing, but the Final Fantasy series that really explored the love relationship between characters was 8.
Yeah, and 8 is the one that I know like actual couples would play together. Of course, I was in college at the time.
Wait. What?
Yeah. Because of the love story. It's like, I can get my girlfriend to like this because it's not just about beating up evil monsters. It's about beating up evil monsters and this girl who has this thing for this damaged brooding loner.
So wait, couples played this together?
Well, one couple. I guess I shouldn't say plural, but...
Okay. But I can kind of see that. I mean, it's definitely got more of a narrative than a lot of the other games.
Sure.
Especially at that time.
Maybe too much narrative, because there was a lot of cutscene and not enough. Who was the chick with the glasses? The blonde teacher lady? What a crazy name.
Starts with a Q.
I thought she was way cooler than Rinoa. She was
way hotter, too.
Well, yeah, I was trying to be... Yes, that's
too. I mean, she... looked well read.
What was his name? Squall?
Squall. I'm really bad with pronouncing names in video games, especially some of the stranger ones. Like, I'll still find out when someone's talking about a game later that I've been pronouncing a character's name wrong for, you know, my entire childhood.
I'm sorry.
Like in Final Fantasy IV. Ha! See, I said it right there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's like Golbez was the main bad guy.
Okay.
But I've been calling him Goblez for pretty much my entire life.
Oh, no.
I know that doesn't sound, but it like blew my mind when I found out I was wrong. So, please send your phonetic pronunciations of the hot teacher from Final Fantasy VIII. All right. And, oh, sorry. All of those who are still eating their sandwiches, you can come back now. Sorry. We were talking about Final Fantasy VIII. You missed it a little bit, but we didn't get into it too much. Don't worry.
Okay.
Oh, wow. I was really worried.
Yeah, I'm not really sure what else I can say about Final Fantasy romances, especially in 8, because, you know, it was also pretty stereotypical. Like I mentioned, the brooding loner and the generally awesome, okay, sort of paper-thin personality, but attractive enough chick who loves him.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm being a little too harsh on her.
Gosh, I just don't know how to pronounce that. Sorry.
Oh, it's a Q word, isn't it?
Quistis.
Yes. I think it's
Q-U-I-S-T-I-S.
Yeah, Quistis sounds right.
See, this is why games need voice acting.
Yeah, definitely.
But anyway, totally agree on that.
Okay, so here's one that kind of changes the princess trope a bit.
Wait, before we get to that, can I go full circle for a second?
Sure, why not?
All right. So Final Fantasy VIII. Now, I was talking to you about how I was reviewing the video for my wedding reception.
Yeah, okay.
All right. At my wedding reception, in Japan, at a wedding reception, often like the friends of the family or, you know, the invited guests you have will do a bit of a performance for you. Often this is karaoke. I know, this is kind of weird.
Totally different one I thought. Okay.
Yeah.
Go on.
Okay. Often this is karaoke or something like that. And, something like one of my friends played the flute. It was very, very nice. My brother and sister slaughtered a rendition of A Whole New World from Aladdin.
Aww. Because
they sang it very beautifully, but they couldn't remember the lyrics. So they just sang the first verse like 4 times. But it's okay because everyone else in the audience was like Japanese, and they're like, that's right.
Yeah. So, the English is so good.
Kind of like Christina Aguilera singing the national anthem.
So you saw it.
Yeah, I saw that. Okay. Anyway, I had a few performances, and then the last performance was Alex. You may remember him as as Alex.
Did he do Hit Me Baby One More Time?
At home in Famicom Dojo videos. And Hiro of Famicom Dojo. The real Famicom Dojo.
Yeah, the one that we...
owner of it. He was in one of our videos, too. But anyway, those two got together on the stage and sang Eyes on Me. Hiro played the guitar and Alex sang the Fei Wong song from Final Fantasy VIII, Eyes on Me.
Cool.
And that's a great song, actually. That song is more romantic than anything that actually happens in the game. But
right.
But the best part about it was hearing Alex, who did not change the lyrics and was talking about how he was just a young girl working in a quiet little bar. that was pretty good. So that's how everything is connected.
Oh.
All right. Now you can do your paradigm shift.
Yeah, I don't know if we can connect this. Well, maybe we'll figure it out at the end. So, right. Did you ever play Prince of Persia? The original.
I did.
You did. How about Sands of Time?
Which Prince of Persia?
Exactly. So like the original is basically just save the princess from the evil Jafar before time runs out, blah, blah, blah. Big deal. No one cares. Have you played Sands of Time?
I started it.
Okay. Well, that's the first Ubisoft game in the series. They made 4 of them. There were 3 in the trilogy, and the 4th one was kind of unrelated.
Sands of Time, and then it was
A Warrior Within.
Warrior Within.
And then 2 Thrones.
And then, yep.
And then the 4th one was just called Prince of Persia. No subtitle.
Yeah, a reboot.
So I guess we can talk about both of them, but I prefer the first one from Sands of Time. Because you spend you need to solve the puzzles in the game with Farah, who is the titular princess, captured from some sultan's court. One of the things that they have is the Sands of Time, the titular Sands of Time. That's the Vizier Jafar wants for himself, wants to fool the prince's father into letting him have, but can't really quite get near enough, and just hisses in his ear until he does the unthinkable, unleashes the sands, and Farah's the only one that can really help you figure out how to fix the problem. So she kind of slinks in and out of the game, literally, because there's like cracks in the walls and stuff, and she's so skinny that she can actually run around the levels in a way that your main character can't. He has to take the hard way, which is the fun way, if you ask me. But you need her throughout the entire thing, and they don't like each other at first, because, you know, how could she possibly have feelings for, you know, the man whose army just sacked her kingdom? Is trying to sell them all into slavery. Like, you know, it's not a good romantic start to a story, but as time goes on, you know, it seems like they're falling for each other more and more, and getting closer, and he's not such a bad guy, you know, and so like, okay, this could go somewhere, and then she basically seems to betray him and tries to fix this by herself, and I won't say much more than that. But when you get to the end and you find out, because he's telling a story.
Yeah.
This entire time, like, he's narrating it, you know,
how
to the
I
player.
Met your mother.
Yeah. But
sorry.
When you find out who he's narrating it to, that's the cool part. So, yeah.
And I don't know. And you said you didn't know how you could connect it, but you can totally connect it to my brother and sister mangling a whole new world.
Sure.
Because
they
probably went on a magic carpet ride in Sands of Time.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of connective tissue there. So, like, Jafar is the evil vizier of the Indian kingdom in this case. Although, I believe...
And the prince's actual name is Ali Ababwa.
Is it?
No.
Is that a Persian name, or is that a Arabic name?
What? No, it's the name from the Disney movie.
Right. I'm just thinking of Prince of Persia. Sorry.
Oh, I don't know.
If you've seen the movie, his name is Dastan, and he has three brothers, two brothers.
Good.
I liked it. It's like a mashup of all the best elements of the trilogy, sort of not done as well as I felt the story from the first game, but really the story of the first game is probably maybe all of half an hour long.
Yeah.
If you cut out all like the platforming and jumping and all the other stuff. So they have a very familiar formula where it's like two people don't really like each other, get along all that much, but, you know, through the trials of what they're going through, come to have a greater respect of each other. And in this case, if you've played Warrior Within and or Two Thrones, there's the Empress of Time character who comes in.
Yeah.
And so the girl whose name escapes me, she's from a kingdom that's never been sacked before. But of course, you know, the Persian army waltzes in and they do just that because it's this glorious kingdom and whatever. It's like, you know, a great honor to finally destroy them. And so it's very strange to them that they've never been defeated before, because it seemed pretty easy to them. That's part of the story, so keep that in mind. But, you know, so she's like a mixture of Farah and the Empress of Time and all this stuff, and the story loosely follows the Sands of Time original game plot loosely. But, you know, I think it's fun, although Jake Gyllenhaal doesn't look Arabic in any way, shape, or form. Or sorry, Persian in any way. Arabs and Persians are different. Sorry about that.
Yes. Yes.
But if you want to go to the Prince of Persia game, no subtitle. Again, there's a princess who's the keeper of, you know, in this case, not so much Sands of Time as like, you know, a life force for her kingdom. Again, it's like he doesn't really care a lot for her. and she doesn't give a damn about him, essentially. But you sort of build this bond with her, and you as the player do too, because she.
Yeah.
It's hard to die in this game. It's actually impossible because she saves your life every time. But, like, you know, the more the game progresses and the more that becomes part of the story, the more, you know, that, like, physical bond they have to share to, like, get through this becomes a more emotional one. And so I think it's effective in that way, but I don't think it's as good of a story as the Sands of Time game, personally. But, you know, it's still pretty good. And the ending is sad, I'll say.
Don't tell me anymore.
Or it seems like it's going to be sad, I should say that.
Okay.
So
that's the thing, though. Like, we've been talking for quite a while about this stuff, and
yeah,
we haven't really found too many, like, you know, true romances.
How do you
know? There's characters who are friendly with each other. There's definitely want to rescue people.
Okay.
I mean, but are games really doing very, you know, mature, like, romantic storytelling?
You mean like the Hot Coffee mod?
No, I don't mean Leisure Suit Larry.
we overlapped each other with two different things. Same idea. Yeah, no.
Yeah.
Like we don't mean games where you're going to die of a venereal disease. I don't think. Within moments.
But you know what? I kind of like... Getting back to something you were saying earlier, I really liked what you were saying about Final Fantasy VIII, that couples would be playing it together.
Sure.
You know, because that, I don't know how much romance comes through in video games, and I'm going to leave that to our commenters to give me some examples, because actually I would love to play a game with the good love story. I'm a sap. I love romantic movies too, as long as they've got lots of violence in them. No. I love romance. I'm sappy. I like romantic movies, and I like movies that I can watch with my wife too. So I'd love some games with some touching stories in them. But tell me more about playing video games with a significant other.
Oh, I've done this a bit. You know, my wife's favorite games were Mario Kart 64 and Donkey Kong 64.
Yeah.
So that was, like, you know, the breadth of her experience, really. But she's a big fan of, like, Dr. Mario, Peggle, games like that as well. Plants vs. Zombies. You know, I think I have an addictive personality when it comes to video games and other kinds of stuff. Like, she will play these like nonstop for 2 weeks and then just burn out on them.
Yeah,
it's kind of neat, but, like, you know, that she plays those by herself usually. We play Peggle together a bit. That's how she got started on it. But what is kind of fun are these more tandem games. Like, you played Donkey Kong Country Returns?
I haven't played it yet.
Oh man, yeah. So you can play as, like, you know, the Diddy Donkey Kong combo, which isn't new for the series, I don't think, but. But it takes on a pretty fun dimension, I think, with the newer game. So that's something that's definitely more fun to play with two people. Like, you can play it by yourself, but it's kind of like, why?
We used to play a new Super Mario Brothers together. So a new Super Mario Brothers Wii together.
Ah, yeah.
With the co-op, and I bought the game Keito no Kirby. Oh, sorry, Kirby's Epic Yarn. That is a better name. Anyway, Kirby's Epic Yarn for the two-player mode as well, but we never really got around to it.
Yeah, I haven't played that a lot myself. We did play it a bit at Phil Bond's place a few times, and let me just say, if your marriage can survive playing that game with each other.
What? What do you mean?
I don't know. It just seems like it can get infuriating really fast if you don't really want to cooperate. Kind of like playing, like, Four Swords, where you, like, throw each other, like, off a cliff, or I'm blanking on the other one.
Four Swords is great. My brother just introduced me to it a few months ago, and it's really good.
Yeah, so there aren't a lot of other ones I can think of, except that there's an article I read, and I should probably dig this up and put it in the show notes, about this writer and her husband who both wanted to play Borderlands, but they were like fought over who would get the Xbox and when. So to save their marriage, quote unquote, she bought another Xbox for him with his own account and everything, and that they could play the game together in separate rooms. But it helped.
Did that save their marriage?
Apparently, it helped save their marriage. I'll just have to read the article. I'll try and find it, and link that. Oh man,
my wife is really good at Dr. Mario too. So much that I don't know if I want to play it against her.
It's like this Brental Floss song about how, like, you know, bitches love Tetris or whatever, something like that. Like your grandma plays it. Yo,
but if your wife's really good, you know, we should do the Dojo Wives Battle.
Dojo Wives Battle. Oh no,
I don't think my wife would like to be part of that. But
no,
but we can make it a pay per view event.
Maybe we can have it be a private event, and they can just hang out.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
They can bond over video games.
My wife has not played a video game for, I don't know, probably shortly after the baby was born. But just last night, she commandeered my 3DS and started playing Layden 5.
Ooh!
And I'm guessing she'll play it till she's done with it.
Nice.
I want to play that game. Stupid moon language.
Yeah. There aren't a lot of games I think that we can really play together. Like I guess that one couple from college I mentioned earlier that played Final Fantasy VIII together was kind of a fluke.
Yeah.
It's a one player game, so they would like trade off controllers or whatever, and
that's so sweet.
It is, isn't it? No. But yeah, there aren't a lot of combo games. Mario Galaxy tried
Samba
to kind of
de
have
Amigo.
A Samba de
couples
Amigo.
Mode?
There is a couples mode in Samba 2000. I think it was in both games actually, but I think it
was a lot more expanded in 2000.
Yeah, 2000 was a much better variation of it. So Ben, if you're out there listening, you and I think are still the best couple. So happy Valentine's Day, buddy.
All right.
Yep. 120% compatibility or whatever, because we both play in super hard mode. Yeah,
it's amazing.
Yeah. I know, right? 128, I think might be the top. I don't recall. Granted, we did play this game like 11 years ago.
Yeah.
So.
But every day.
Yeah, every day for a month. Dear God, I was so buff at the end of that. My forearms were like Popeye, man.
Oh yeah. chicks dig the Samba arms.
I did pick up a pair of Samba maracas, and so now I have two sets that work reasonably well. So maybe I should see if my wife wants to do. Yeah, maybe after the baby's born, so she's not shaking the poor kid around so much.
Yeah, you're gonna have a kid coming out of there going, "All right, let's do this."
Samba arms.
Kid comes out with huge forearms.
I do have a plush crack monkey maraca thing. We call him the crack monkey. I forget what it is. I think his name is actually Amigo, isn't it?
It's Amigo, yes.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. Well, anyway, there's he hangs from the ceiling. He was in what is now going to be the kid's bedroom, but now it's in the living room. So maybe I'll be nice and let him play with it someday. Yeah, so apart from all that, you know, I think I'd be remiss if I didn't mention BioWare games.
All right. I knew you were going to.
I know. I don't want to take it up the whole episode. Well, you know, again, this is a one-player ordeal, so you can't really play it with somebody. And depending on what kind of relationship that you actually want, it might not be conducive to you and your significant other playing, because maybe you're this hot, kick-ass female Spectre roaming the galaxy.
Sure am.
Really the only way to play this game, honestly. speaking of which, there's just this last Friday, last week actually, when we released the last episode, was called FemShep Friday because they finally released a female Shepard only trailer for Mass Effect 3 coming out in about 3 weeks here. So it's pretty cool. Should link that in the show notes as well. But let's say your plan is this female Shepard. You have some romance options from the first game. You got Caden, the damaged brooding loner. criminy. who's a biotic, which is like having psychic powers and stuff, like telekinetic psychic powers. Then you have the blue-skinned monosex alien who, for some reason, has all the ample attributes of a human female and tentacle head. Can't forget tentacle head. But those are your options. And if you want to go for the blue-skinned female-ish alien with tentacle head, you can do that, and your wife might not like that. or maybe it's great if, you know, your significant other is a woman.
Yeah.
Who's blue.
With tentacles.
Tentacles. Yeah, so...
But then she might get jealous.
True, true.
She'd be like, oh, you just have a type. It's the only reason you're with me.
So it's kind of interesting because across Mass Effect 1 and 2, you can continue your existing relationship from the first game, assuming you had one, which is kind of hard to do because you don't really encounter the characters from that first game, with the exception of Liara. And I got a video for this, so I got a whole series on Mass Effect romances, which should be done, completed by the time the third game comes out. So we should point people to that too. Oh man, we're just like dropping links everywhere, aren't we?
I know.
So yep. Keep playing Mass Effect 2 Romance if you really want to check it out before you check out the show notes. But yep. So Liara ends up showing up in Mass Effect 2 in the Lair of the Shadow Broker. DLC, which sort of sets up some events for Mass Effect 3, and if you had a romance with her before, and I think maybe if you didn't, but you know, you still had a thing for her or whatever, you can get something going if you want. And how that pans out in the third game is yet to be seen, because you can not be faithful to your romance interest from the first game, or you know. So we don't know, but it's got a longer tail than a lot of these things. And then you know, once you're in the middle of like romancing a character, their behavior towards you changes, and it's I don't know, it's a really good way to get some good character story. So it's not the only reason it's like boobies, because you don't really see anything, you know.
Well, you know, I heard. Well, you know, there was controversy about Mass Effect's sexuality. Do you remember that?
Vaguely.
They were like trying to get it banned, even.
Right, because
they did manage to get the rating changed.
Yeah, yeah. There was an implied nude love scene in the first game, which they were very careful to avoid in both Mass Effect and the Dragon Age, or Mass Effect 2 and the Dragon Age games subsequently. Oh yeah, Dragon Age, you can have gay elf sex, so that's a whole different ball of wax. You know, they didn't. BioWare didn't care. In fact, there's a pretty infamous post of like the straight male gamer who was offended that like other romance options even existed in the BioWare games, and BioWare basically told him to STFU because there were other people for whom that represents something that they want, and the numbers of those people are not insignificant.
A video game family is one male sprite and one female sprite. If you have two males, how does that even work?
Like, there's only two bits, an on bit and an off bit.
Yeah.
The one goes perfectly inside the zero. It fits.
Yeah, I mean, it's Mario and Princess, not Mario and...
Wario.
Prince. Oh, dear. I can't even do it. You know what? I just thought of a good... Of a good relationship.
Yes.
Have you played Valkyria Chronicles?
I have not. I think I've seen you play a bit of it, though.
Ah, that's a good game. It's a good game. I mean, you're not really in charge of the romantic situation, but Alicia and Welkin, the two main characters, have kind of an interesting, you know, relationship. She kind of hates him at first, but you know they. Okay, it's the same relationship from every other video game, but that's a really good video game. I guess I'm trying to make the relationship more than it actually is. But what a great game. Good story, too.
Right on.
But I guess that's that's about it for romance and video games for me. Valentine's Day is tomorrow here in Japan, and the guy's responsibility is to do pretty much nothing. We have Valentine's Day here, but it was imported after the war by the company Morinaga. Mm-hmm. They're a maker of chocolate. They're like the second biggest chocolate company in Japan. Right. And they're like, hey, look at what America has. Valentine's Day. Okay, we're going to bring it to Japan, but we're going to make some changes a bit. It's going to be all about chocolate. Like, you know, in America, it's about cards and flowers and going out to dinner. But here, it's chocolate. Girls make chocolates for boys. And boys...
How messed up is that? They eat the chocolate.
That's pretty much it. And now the boy has a month to think about how he feels about that. And then a month later is White Day.
Yep.
That's on March 14th. And then the boy can reciprocate the gift if he, I don't know, liked the chocolate. I don't know how Japan works. But
chocolate.
But the boy can reciprocate. And I was always thinking, like, from an American perspective, I'm like, that's really a big waste of 1 month.
Yeah. Although, you know, so in America it's a bit different, right? We have the romantic holiday, like you were saying. It's more about the girl than not. But we also have a holiday on March 14th, which is a bit like White Day, except a little different. It's a lot different,
actually.
What do we
have on the 14th?
You know, this is a family podcast. I probably shouldn't say.
Oh, man. I don't even know about... It sounds like I'm missing something fun. I didn't even know about this.
It's not an official holiday. And it is fun.
All right, I'm gonna Google that later.
Yeah, I think that's it for the podcast. On that note, look forward to March 14th, everyone.
Yep. Please enjoy your Valentine's Day. Spend it with someone you love or have settled upon.
Oh.
No. Spend it with someone you love, or don't, and complain about that you're not spending it with someone that you love and that you're playing Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles on your Famicom. Oh, man, that sounds great.
Oh, right. You know, thinking back, Valentine's Day was the first time that me and my now wife said that we loved each other, so.
Aww.
Yeah. It's kind of sweet.
That is kind of sweet.
All right, everyone. Yeah, thanks for listening. You can find us on Twitter, where we talk about wonderful things, or Facebook, both Famicom Dojo, where we retweet pictures about 8-bit pixelated girls, apparently. Also, best way to listen to the podcast is through iTunes. So if you have not yet subscribed there, or rated, or commented, please do so. Let us know what you think of the show, because that helps others to say, hey, this show looks pretty cool. I think I should listen to it too. And of course, you can always talk to us on famicomdojo.tv in our show notes. We appreciate every comment that we get, even if we disagree superficially with some of the contents occasionally. We have lovely, wonderful discussions around both agreements and disagreements. I've noticed too, you can also follow our videos on YouTube, Blips TV. YouTube, it's That's Orange, Flip TV, Famicom Dojo. I've noticed that we have been getting a pretty good steady uptick in YouTube subscribers lately, which is phenomenal. I don't know what's happening, because we haven't released anything new since September. If you don't count all of our Tokyo Game Show footage, that is.
I count our Tokyo Game Show.
You should count it, because there's a lot of it. Wow.
And there's still more to come. I know.
Yeah, there's still more.
The Tokyo Game Show is
it's crazy.
Last year now, but there's still a bunch of it on the way.
Famicom Dojo.
I think right now, at the request of one of our dear, dear fans, we need to make a Back to the Future reference.
Oh, you're right. Oh, man. I was thinking of the Telltale game. You know, the original Jennifer from, like, the first movie comes back to reprise the role for the first time in, like, 25 years or whatever. because the timelines change and she doesn't remember him or doesn't like him that much. Oh, no, no. They still went out in this other reality, but he was too square for her, which is funny.
Square.
Thank you, Huey.
You're welcome. See, there we go. Okay, now we can finish.
Yep.